Well, welcome back to another episode of The American Christian, our series here in the Apostolic Training Institute with Dr. David Nichols. Say hi, Doc.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today? We're going after it, man. After
we are.
Revival.
We're chasing it with a big stick.
That's right.
Amen. I'm really digging this. You know, I guess I was, maybe some people are like, well, we're supposed to be talking about revival, but we've landed in the book of Judges up to about our knees right now, and we're trying to work our way through it, Doc.
Yeah, well, the book of Judges is all about revival. It's kind of an Old Testament version, but, you know, remember now how we pointed out the Judges cycle.
Right.
We're running into it over and over and over again. We had it with Deborah and Barak. We had it with Ehud, these other people. The Israelites, after they've been prosperous and everything's been going good for a while, boom, pretty soon they're worshiping the idols, walking away from God, doing all that terrible stuff. So what does God do? Sends in the enemy, and they are oppressed for periods of time, 7 years, 20 years, you know, whatever these were. And then they get sick of it. They cry out to God. And God is merciful. And he raises up a deliverer, a man or a woman, to come and stand and tell them the truth and lead them then into a great victory and deliverance against the enemy. And that's what we're right in the middle of here with Gideon, with his 300 guys. 32,000 was way too many. 10,000 was way too many. Now he's down to 300, remember? And so they're coming up to the camp of the Midianites, and he's divided them into three companies, remember?
Right.
So he's teaching them, says, here's your weapons, boys. You each get a trumpet, you each get a pitcher, and you each get a torch.
Yeah.
No AK-47s,
no.
No swords, no spears, nothing like that. Just these three items in each guy.
You know, is Murphy's Law come around yet in like, okay, well, we got all our 300 guys. Okay, we're ready to go. And then there's that guy way down on there, and he goes, I dropped my clay pot. Can I get it? Right? Like, there's this guy. He's just like, oh, right. Well, he makes it there, but... Now my pot broke, so now we got to go get another pot. Go get him another pot. Or his torch goes out, or, right?
I mean, I don't know. I think the anointing was there on Gideon. The kind of, these guys were drawn into it, would be my interpretation.
Yeah. What does that look like today?
Once they set themselves to do what God has ordered them to do,
they're on it.
There isn't any broken pitchers or torches that go out or stuff like that.
I'm encouraged by that then.
The Lord does it. So verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him, remember the other two groups were 100 each?
Yeah.
And they came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Okay, now when it says the watch, that's not a thing on their arm that tells time, okay? The watch is the guard of the camp. That's a smaller, much smaller group of soldiers that are supposed to be on the alert in
right.
case anything happens.
Right.
Anybody comes near. All right, so they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hand. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Wow. No normal weapons.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Up against pretty tactical
tens
Army.
Of thousands of heavily armed dudes. I mean, yeah.
And camels.
And camels, right. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled.
Wow.
When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp.
Whoa.
These Midianites have got to realize you're not just fighting with Gideon here, you're fighting with Yahweh.
Right.
When you fight with Yahweh, and Yahweh has a obedient, cooperating son of his down on the ground doing what he says, I mean, terrible stuff's going to happen to this enemy, and it does here. They're fighting each other.
Right. They turn basically on one another.
Right. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Mahola by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. So now it's not just his guys, his Abiezrites.
Right.
Now it's all these tribes joining in. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Can you imagine that? The Midianites had controlled all the watering places where you would even bring your cattle to drink.
Right.
That's how badly they impoverished the Israelites.
And against all these tribes which needed...
Right, needed water
right.
for their stocks and their herds. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb.
Mm-hmm.
They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So Gideon says, go get them. And in the ancient warfare, you usually brought back evidence that you did what you said.
Right? Okay, that makes sense.
So here are their heads.
Right.
Yeah.
This whole thing right here is like, how close do you think that the Israelites were to leaving Canaan at this point? Because their crops are being destroyed year after year.
Yeah.
They can't get to their water.
And
I mean, this has got to
be
devastating to their children, to their
right.
wives.
How do you live in dens and caves and holes in the earth?
I don't know. What are you eating?
I
mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, they brought over almost 2 million people.
You thresh wheat in a wine press so nobody can see you doing it.
Oh, and how many people does that really feed? Is
I
he
know.
Just doing this for his family,
Probably.
All right.
So chapter 8 in verse 1, now the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded him sharply. That is, they're Gideon, they're reprimanding. And, you know, for all Gideon's later problems here, he really does the right thing here in this encounter. And he said to them, verse 2, what have I done in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? In other words, you guys are so much greater than we. Look, you went and got their heads of these two kings.
Yeah.
And he actually, even though he is the vessel that God chose, and he was the guy that led the deal that really got this going, when he calls in these brothers from Ephraim, which were certainly way more numerous than his 300, they go in there and get the job done. He humbles himself before his brothers, brother Israelites.
Right.
And even though he could have said, hey, I'm the guy God chose here, I'm the guy that saw the angel of the Lord, and who you think you're talking to? He doesn't do that.
Right.
He humbles himself, and he says, God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. What was I able to do in comparison with you? Well, when you understand the whole story, if Gideon wouldn't have done that, there wouldn't have been a story.
Right.
But he doesn't pursue it that way. He humbles himself.
That's kind of a lesson really for today on how to deal with conflict.
Right.
If we don't live in a world of conflict today, look, humble
right.
yourself.
Yeah.
Point out the accomplishment of your person that is right. coming after you right. and back down.
And even in revival.
Ooh, come on.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
You know, so the guy that starts the revival.
Yeah.
Then these other guys join in, and right. they actually have a greater outcome since they actually captured the kings. They have a greater outcome. Humble yourself. If God uses you to start something and somebody else takes off and runs with it and gets even greater results than you did, humble yourself because you're on the same side, right. fighting for the same goal and destination.
Well, that's a good word.
Yeah.
I like that. Because yeah. I think this next, these next, well, that's really, in essence, how revival really does work, right?
Right?
I mean, if the body doesn't come together for this to happen, or if I feel intimidated because you started it and like, well, I guess I'm just going to back off here. Right. Or if I'm feeling this push from the Spirit to move forward, can I do that in a confidence
right.
without spurning you
right.
or this other person.
Right. And once the move has begun, to be able to get other people to buy into the vision and come by the thousands as the Ephraimites did, that's a big deal.
Why do you think the Ephraimites, why didn't they come at first? They just weren't called? Were they too far out?
Yeah, I guess they just didn't
these guys, because I thought that Ephraim came into the land. When they came in, they were right on the other side of the Jordan into the hills. But I could be mistaken about
that. But they apparently didn't know what was going on here at first until the word got to them, and Gideon says, hey, come on, help.
Yeah, and how do you feel when someone doesn't include you in such a great thing as this? Boy, you mean you didn't think to call me?
Yeah. Right. So their anger subsides when he humbles himself. And then it says, when Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over. Now, this is where the story gets really interesting.
I know. I was reading it this morning.
I know. The men are exhausted but still in pursuit. So he says to the men of Sukkot, now bear in mind, these Gideon and his guys are fighting for the freedom and liberty of these people at Sukkot. If Gideon wins, they're free.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He said, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted. And I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Sukkot said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army?
Oh man.
Wrong choice, guys. So notice, Gideon is capable of being humble when it's appropriate, like with the guys from Ephraim.
Ooh, good point.
But now with these dudes, it's like, hey, so Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with thorns of the wilderness and with briars. It's going to be, class is going to be in session.
Yeah,
boys.
I don't think he was stuttering either.
No.
This was, I thought, was really a kind of a firm. He doesn't plead with them. He doesn't say, "Come on,
right.
man!" Like he's not telling them
it
what's
says
at
it
stake.
One time and they don't want it, and so here we go.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah. Then he went up from there to Penuel, and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Sukkot had answered. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower."
Come on.
Now, Zeba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east. Now, think about this. These guys are reduced from 120,000 down to 15,000 already, both by Ephraim and then by the tribes that were with Gideon.
Well, you might think you're safe now. I mean, at this point, do they think, there's only about 300 of them right now.
Yeah.
And we're 15,000, but
right.
they're still running.
Okay, then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Now, you got to remember in all of this, this anointing that is on Gideon, the Spirit of God is wearing him like a garment. This is not real good news for the fleeing armies, because this guy, and he's, you know, of course, drawing these other people into that anointing.
Ooh.
To accomplish God's purpose.
Yeah, amen.
That's part of leadership, is spreading this out and sharing it with the people that are working with you. And so then it says, they routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle from the ascent of Heres, and he caught a young man of the men of Sukkot and interrogated him. And he wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkot and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Sukkot and said, "Here are Ziba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of Ziba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your weary men?'" Now get this. I think what the men of Sukkot and of Penuel were doing, they were actually ridiculing the anointing that was on Gideon. They did not recognize it, or else they recognized it and were ridiculing it. "Oh, you're here with 300 guys. You think you're going to beat these Midianite kings with all their thousands?" And they had already routed them. They were already chasing them.
Right.
But these guys didn't recognize the time of visitation.
Yeah. "What are you guys running from?"
"Yeah.
Well, there's this guy."
Yeah.
Like nobody
the
told
Spirit
them.
The Spirit of God is on
15,000 people ran through Rush City right now. I think we've noticed.
I think so. But here these Israelites don't recognize the time of visitation. This is a big deal for revival. We say we want revival. Okay, if God gives it in a form that you're not familiar with, are you ready to receive it? That's why we're doing this study, actually, listeners, because revival has come in a lot of different forms, both through the times of Scripture and then on down through Christian history, down to our times. We got to see how it was so that we're ready for how it's going to be.
There should be some familiar patterns.
There are. Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
All right, so here comes the punishment of Sukkot and Penuel. Which is not a pretty picture. Verse 16, he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, which is exactly what he said he was going to do, and with them he taught the men of Sukkot. Now, what does that mean, Pete?
He taught them.
He taught them.
I think he
classes
taught them.
Classes in
session. Right? I'm going to teach you a lesson. That's probably where we get that term from. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Ooh.
Ooh. This is the teaching right here.
Wow. And then he tore down the Tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Yeah, in Old Testament times, you just didn't mess around with words. You better be careful what you say.
Wow.
Because your words carry great implications. You scorn and ridicule the man of God who has the anointing of God on him. When he comes back and has accomplished the thing the Spirit gave him to do, here you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then he starts talking to these Midianite kings in verse 18, said to Ziba and Zalmunna, "What kind of men were those that you killed at Tabor?" So they answered, "As you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king." See how Gideon has been exalted by the Lord from being this guy that's hiding out in a wine press.
Right.
Now the Spirit of God is wearing him like a garment. I mean, he looks like a prince to the people that are looking at him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Right. Then he said, "They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. And as the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you." And he said to Jether, his firstborn, "Rise, kill them." But the youth would not draw his sword because he was afraid, because he was still a youth.
Right.
But Ziba and Zalmunna said, "Rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is strength." So Gideon says, "Okay." Yeah, you want me to kill you? Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. That was a symbol of the complete conquest. Their crescents, there's like their logo, their brand.
Ah,
here it is. It's in my control now.
Yeah. Wow.
Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian." Now this is really important. When revival comes, and you got a guy that's leading it,
right?
It's really tempting to take too much when the Spirit of God is really moving mightily.
You say by taking too much.
Well, in this case, it would have been Gideon taking the rulership over the whole nation as a king.
Right.
And this is the difference between a judge and a king. We're in the book of Judges here. Remember, we don't get to kings until Samuel anoints Saul.
But it's like it's the whisper right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Because they're conquering kings.
Right.
Right?
Right. So why shouldn't he be king? It's kind of a human, logical...
Right.
You know, hey, we need you. But a judge is not a king. And many times they were just anointed for a temporary period of time to bring the great deliverance, like Deborah, for example, right. And Ehud,
right.
And even Gideon. So Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you."
Mm-hmm.
Here Gideon is still faithful and true to the God who called him.
Right.
And is exhibiting this good character and a good follow-through. But that's going to change.
I know. But this is really, it's good because I think you're going to take us right up to where the stumble comes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. I know. And it comes over gold. Then Gideon said to them, "I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder." It's kind of like a little tiny part of each guy's
stuff. Yeah.
The earrings, you know, not the wristbands, not the crescents off of the camel's neck, just the little earrings. And for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, "We will gladly give them." And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. How much is that in today's money, Pete?
I don't know, but it's about 43 pounds.
That's right. It's 43 pounds.
And an ounce goes for
1,800, so it's 1.2 million. We're throwing
into that garment in earrings.
1.2 mil right there. Boom.
So if you were debating on whether or not the size of the army was actually the size of the army, here's a little bit more of...
Yeah.
They didn't collect an ounce of gold here.
No, they had 43 pounds of gold.
1.2 million?
Right.
Wow. All right.
So, and then there was more than that, because it says, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, purple robes, which were on the kings of Midian, besides the chains that were around their camels' necks. So Gideon got some of that as well. But here it comes. This is what we don't expect, and this is what you got to factor into your understanding of revival.
Wow.
Temptation is going to come right at the peak of the victory. I mean, isn't this like one of the greatest days in Israel's history? Hey, the Midianites are defeated. We're free. These guys are killed. We can live life again, liberty. Right?
Yeah.
But... then Gideon made it, that is, the gold, into an ephod and set it up in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there, which means they worshipped this golden ephod.
Right.
It became a snare to Gideon and to his house.
In case you were wondering, would it? And it does.
Yeah.
It becomes the snare.
So here's a very important truth, listener.
Okay.
revival comes. Finally, we pray, we fast, we seek God, we do what we're supposed to do. Revival comes.
Yeah.
God's using an anointed man, anointed woman. We get great victories. The constant is there will always be temptation. And at the peak of the victory, Gideon yields to this terrible temptation. And they slide right back into idolatry. Now, God's mercy, we find out here in a little bit, 40 years of peace rest on the land. But while that peace is going on, they're worshiping the idols again.
Oh, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all.
Man, no, it doesn't.
Well?
And so it says, thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon.
Wow.
Now, the story that follows here, the rest of Gideon's life, I mean, he was a busy guy. He had 70 sons.
I thought that was a little busy.
Yeah. I mean, when God said, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis, Gideon said, okay.
Gideon got the word.
He got the memo. He had many wives. He had a concubine.
Yeah.
And she's the one that bore him the son called Abimelech. And so the end of Gideon is sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And then verse 33, so it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berit their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in accordance with all the good he had done for Israel. But here's one thing we want to key in on here, Pete, as we kind of summarize what's going on here. The fact that the power of God rested mightily upon Gideon did not by itself give him good character and righteous judgment. Nor did it give him integrity.
That is so insightful.
The truth of God.
So how does this contrast to maybe even New Testament then?
Well, there's an important point here to jump over to the New Testament, because in the New Testament now we have both the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
The gifts of the Spirit are the display of the power of God into a situation. And man, that's what we're always believing God for, right? Like healings and miracles.
Right.
And casting out demons and having the kingdom of God come. And amen. And God wants us to do that.
Right.
But if we are doing that in the absence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that whole list in Galatians chapter 5.
Right.
Those are about integrity. Those are about character.
And we need both.
We need both.
We need both to lead well.
And unfortunately, in the history, even in the, like we see it right here in Judges here with Gideon, he had the mighty gifts, but didn't have so much of the fruit. And on down through the history of the church, even after the New Testament, what's sad is it seems that church groups, even denominations, fellowship groups, will choose one or the other. Well, we're gifts people. No, we're fruit people.
Right.
So the gifts people are out, you know, ripping it up and not caring too much about character and integrity. If we're honest with one another, and I speak as a son of the Pentecostal movement and charismatic, that's kind of what we tend to. We're really into the gifts. We want to really see the power come, and I do, and God wants it to.
Right.
But if we don't have a grasp on the fruit, you know, and then the other side, the fruit people, well, we have the fruit of the Spirit. We are integrity, and we have great, you know, relationships with one another. I mean, we aren't healing anybody, and we aren't really getting too many saved.
I don't know what to do with those demonized people.
We're just kind of sitting here in righteousness. Well, that's wrong, too.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is get the two together, and that's a hard place to stand, obviously, because few people have been able to do it down through history. But that's part of revival, I believe.
Well, maybe that's where the emphasis of unity can really make a play, is where you can get gifted churches and fruitful churches
working together. Yeah.
What would
and complementing each other where the one lacks, where the other one, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because
that would be awesome.
This is really, you know, before we said all that, I think that you could start formulating in your own mind, listener, like, well, what hope is there for me to finish well then? I mean, if these guys couldn't finish well, Doc, man, how am I? If Solomon had a hard time, David had a hard time, like, what hope is there for me? And really, it is because Jesus was crucified,
yes,
buried and rose, and that he lives in us, that is the difference, because Paul finishes well.
That's right.
Thomas finishes well.
That's right. Over
these apostles.
Over in India.
Right. Holy, talk about idols. Oh, my goodness. And worshiping things. But we know these men finished well.
Right.
And so, you know, I would say, listener, be encouraged. Know that you can finish well with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. They become your confidence.
That's right.
Amen.
And I think personally and individually, if we want it, we can have a standing where we have the gifts on the one side and the fruit on the other side. But we can also pursue this thing corporately as church groups and church entities that say, look, we got the gifts. We need you people that have the fruit. We need to stand together here and build each other up.
Wow.
And together take on the gates of hell and tear them down.
Yeah. Boy, that's a good word.
Amen.
That's almost something to look forward to.
It
when
is.
When you think about
it. And revival, that's where revival should take us.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, amen.
Well, thanks, listener, for being with us here today.
So good.
It's been a rich time. Remember, we've got our free offer.
We do.
Do You Want Revival is the name of a book written by an awesome partner of this ministry, Pastor Eric Hansen. He just has released it here in the last month. We want to send you a free copy. Just contact us however you can do that. Phone is 320-566-1144. How else can they get in contact with us?
A simple email, Doc. info@heartofthefather.net. We'll be able to correspond with you and get a book out to you. You know, and if you need to catch up on any episodes, you can go out to the website. We are trying to make everything very available on whatever platform you want to chase this on. But we're encouraged. And so thank you so much for listening.
God bless you.